I have a question for those that are remaining behind here, because we are behind time here. We're going to have to catch up with you. Quick question. How many of us know the theme of this month anyway? Theme of the month. Yes, downstairs. Devotion to God. Yeah, you got some words there. Yes. Yes, Barry. How great a devotion. Got some words there. Not exactly the whole thing. I know it's a bit of a long sentence. Devotion that grows your faith and heart. Devotion that grows your faith and heart. That's what we want to talk about. So, what is devotion to you? What's devotion? That's the question. Commitment. What? Consistency. Commitment, consistency, yes.
I kind of think of it as like my passion for a sports team.
Yeah. So let's talk about sports a little bit. You can be devoted. You can be devoted to a Golden State, know everything, what's going on, what's playing, who is Iguodala is going that way, and so-and-so is going that way, and somebody's coming in. I have a question, though. And that, you can be devoted to a team, but does it grow you? So there's a valid point, but I want to make that clarity that you can devote it to something, but you're not growing. You may know information, but you can be devoted to something, but you're not growing. Your heart is not growing, your faith is not growing, but you're devoted to it. I'm a fan of Golden State, so I know what's cooking in that direction. But let's not create rivalry in this conversation. Let's create devotion. So you follow that. You can be devoted to something. I mean, how many of us like Falcon? Atlanta Falcons. I want to make sure. Where's Joe Cook? Yeah, I want to make sure that he knows there are people that like Falcons as well. Anyway, is it a good team compared to NFL teams? It's not an excellent team. Oh, well, okay. She's biased. She says it's amazing. It's not everything you'd want it to be, right? But it's there. Again, I want to explain that you can be devoted to something, but it's not making you grow. Does that make sense? And I think we need to make that clear, that sometimes you're devoted, you're doing things, but you're not growing. You're devoted to knowing, but not growing. Like, I figure out all, you know, Chelsea will fill me in if I'm missing anything with Warriors. So I know all that stuff, but it doesn't mean I'm necessarily growing in my heart and in my faith. So when we talk about devotion in the Bible, you see there are people that devoted themselves to different things. We take an example here. For Ezra had devoted himself to the steady observance of the law. So he took time then and sat down and looked at the scriptures and said, what do the scriptures say? He took time. When you devote yourself to something, you're going to take time. And so, what does this mean? Then he says he was also teaching it. You realize if you're learning something, you're studying it and teaching, do you realize you grow in the process of teaching? If you learn something and get to teach it, you actually grow a lot when you're teaching it. And he says there, and teaching its degrees and laws in Israel. So one of the things when you're devoted is you've got to create the time to learn from God, and then get to teach that at some point to someone else or people, or you just talk about it in some conversations, and eventually you realize that it begins to grow you. It's the biggest challenge when it comes to devotion is to ask yourself, do we understand what it is really? Samson devoted himself to God to a degree. John the Baptist did that, right? And we can go on and on and on, and other people that devoted themselves, the Nazarite devoted themselves to God, and when they did not shave their hair. To the point where even their father died, they could not go close to the body of their father. So when everybody had the luxury of shaving hair, they didn't. And for that, they were reminded that I am doing this for God. They couldn't even eat grape. Anything with wine, they could not touch. And so for that was to help them to understand, you know what, you can't self-indulge because you may forget why you are Nazirite. So there's a lot of stuff that we can talk about, just devoted people in the Bible. But that's just a start. But I want to move from that distance to where we are today, 2019, and discuss just devotion. And ask you some questions, whether you're devoted as a person. So, Isaiah, what are you devoted to? Let's see. Those consecrated to purify themselves to go into the gardens, following one who is among those who eat the flesh of pigs, rats, and other unclean things. They will meet their end together with the one they follow, declares the Lord. I have a question. What are you devoted to? That's the question. What are you devoted to? Don't give me the classic disciple answer. Give me your real answer. Yes. Yeah, it's true. That will take over. Yes.
Right now, I'm certainly devoted to my job.
Devoted to your job. There we go. Anybody else? Yes.
Children.
That's true. Children. Sherry.
Help.
Okay, devoted to walking, is that what you're saying?
Well, no.
Health, devoted to health. So walking, exercise, eating properly, all that stuff.
And devoted to family, make sure that family's needs are met, that they're close to God as a family unit.
Correct. So let me ask this question. Is it possible that as Christians we're devoted to all good things, but we're not devoted to God? That we develop a culture of life takes over. You know, you have to go to school, you have to do things. Before you know it, you're not really devoted to God. God gets the leftovers. God doesn't gate your devotion. And that there is this myth that if I'm devoted to God, somehow I'm going to lose my time, my money, my life. You know, all the things we want to lose. My fun. That's the illusion we all carry sometimes. We think, if I'm devoted to God, I'm going to lose something. How many of us think that that is something you feel sometimes? That if I'm devoted to God, I'm going to lose something. We feel that sometimes. Now, here's the scripture. Matthew 6, from 25, says, who of you by worrying can gain anything? And then I'm paraphrasing all this stuff. Look at the birds of the air, how I feed them and how I take care of them. Even though they do not plant or harvest, they're going to get what they need. Then at the very end, it says, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Now, that terminology, depending on how old you've been as a Christian, can throw you off. But I want to give you a biblical meaning of that. That God is saying, you trust me and give me your time, and everything else will be taken care of. That includes your education, your money, your children, your family. That dedicate yourself to me, and I'll take care of this stuff. But what we've done is we're not dedicated to God. We're dedicated to everything else, devoted to everything else other than God. So is it a surprise that we're frustrated? Why are we frustrated? Because, what did you say that? We're relying on ourselves. We're not devoted. That is why we are frustrated. You're not designed to carry the load. You're designed to devote yourself to God and let God carry the load, and then he'll guide you. Are we getting this? So we are devoted to many things, but we've stopped devoting ourselves to God. God gets an hour of Sunday. That's maybe the 11 o'clock. God gets maybe a Wednesday. And if you think about your quiet time, you may be reading it, but I want to say this to you, that maybe by the time you leave your Bible and get in the car, you can't even remember what the Word of God was saying to you. And maybe you pray, but by the time you finish praying, you're actually more angst. You should be peaceful because you gave it to God, right? That's the way it should work. When you're devoted, I gave it to God. But you can finish praying and feel more angst about life. That happens because we've inverted devotion. We're devoted to everything else. Life, money, cars, and all those things we need. But we need to seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. When you seek the kingdom, you're seeking God's will, but you're also being righteous about it. It's not about being right and winning and controlling. It's about being godly as you do it. Does that make sense? So that is what you want to look at. Look at that, and look at that in your marriage. Look at that in your life. Look at that in how you've looked at life. You'll find that the moment you have devoted yourself to God, life is easier. It's bearable. The same problems. The moment you cross the line and you devote yourself to trying to control that stuff by trying to win it over, it's overwhelming, stressful, and meaningless. No purpose. Why? Because you are crossing lines. Seek first the kingdom and be righteous. It doesn't mean you stop going to work, but you'll be seeking first the kingdom as you do that. You'll wake up in good time and be devoted to God. So, these people, as I was talking about, they were actually devoted to the wrong things, different gods, and following them to the garden. It says they will perish with those gardens. And we also have different gods. In the book, Acts talks about there are gods that don't even have names. Sometimes we have gods that don't even have names in our lives. Just things that control us. It gets to a point where you're perishing. Why? Because you're devoted to the wrong stuff. You're not letting God figure that out for you. Make sense? It's not a lack of a goal. It's not a lack of that. It's how you're what you're devoted to. When you're devoted to God, clarity hits your space. So let's talk about some tools. Some tools we can do. And I'm just going to read a scripture we all read a lot. What does it take to be devoted to God? Acts 2 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Let's discuss that. What does it take to be devoted to God? That's a discussion point. Please talk to me. I don't want to talk to myself.
Well, I think one is it takes some judgment, because it's actually easier, at least for me, to be devoted to acts that feel godly than it is to be devoted to God. That is, I'm doing things rather than going to God.
Okay, that's a big one. That's a big one in our current situation. We're devoted to acts that feel like I'm devoted to God than being devoted to God. You can be devoted to reading your Bible, but you're not really devoted to God. To prayer, but not really to God. It's an act of feeling good. Tithing. And all that stuff is all good, but are you devoted to God, or are you just doing the acts? Tracy? Sorry? You have to have a desire to be devoted to God. And that means you're seeing your condition and saying, I need to make some changes here. Yes? Being in love with God. Sometimes you fall out of love with God and it doesn't make sense anymore, right? We need to discuss that a bit further. Yes? Intentional. Okay. I want to think about my morning, my day. What am I doing? Am I praying? Yes. Let's have the family here talking. Yeah. So instead of controlling, we start trusting. But because we trust, we still walk through the door. When we control, we're holding the door pretty tight. But if we trust, we walk through. We're not holding it, being afraid and trying to micromanage every little thing. God will work this out.
Jesus is Lord, or whatever the case may be. I I mean, not saying you got to check out of society, but yeah, society, who you want to serve in your heart.
So the two masters that he's brought up, there's a master of emotion that we all have. How is that master doing for you? Is he taking you up? How is that a master of the master of emotion? How are you doing in that area? How are you getting triggered, tripped up and angry and upset? Is that master in control, or are you still in the fruits of the Spirit? Peace, joy, patience. Yes.
Consistency.
Consistency. Okay, consistency. Let's talk about that. Okay, I'll use what I like to do, cars. I just came from Savannah. As you can see, I'm in black. It's funny how you get into, you're on the road, and you get on the road, and you see this guy coming, flying like nobody's business. You're like, maybe I should keep up with him because, man, I'm running late. Wait a minute. My wife will always tell me, Han, I think you're going too fast. Can you pull back a little bit here? And I say, okay, let's stick with it. And then you're shocked if you just go the speed limit. If the guy stops under 5 minutes, you're there. Then I ask myself, so what's all this illusion of we just keep going first? It's because somehow you're competitive. Somehow you feel like you're falling back. You're not trusting that God is walking at these things at all. If you really think about your life, you're competitive somewhere. If you just let God has a plan for you. And that plan does not look like that plan or that plan or your neighbor's plan. Just a plan for you. You could devote yourself to God and you'll stop the competitiveness that gets in the way of it. But that's true. Consistency. So what I'm saying in my driving, I figured if I'm just consistent, cruise control, put it at 70, you'll be fine. You don't worry about the police and you don't worry about the guys that come around you. It'll work itself out. You will get there when you get there. Not before the guy was behind you or the guy before you. No, they're not in the equation. It's your life. It's your journey. Why are we looking at everybody else around us? That's how we lose devotion. We start competing. And wondering, by this time I should be at this place. Yes, you could. But God can change your life in a second. You can be stuck for 10 years. And then one day it all changes. What if you knew that? How would you live your life? Now, we don't know that because you're being tested. Yes, Alan?
I mean, I think in Acts 2, these people were grateful. I think that's what, that was the root behind their devotion. They were young Christians. They'd just been saved their sins. They were grateful.
So they were young Christians. They were devoted. So let me go a little bit farther. Yes, Joe. Humility. How about that? Yes, Jeff.
They were cut to the heart.
What if I'm fighting God in my heart? I'm saying yes, but. Will I hear God? Will I be devoted to Him? What if I'm resentful to God? The humility thing is what I need. These are questions that you and I, if you really look at yourself, you may realize that you do that sometimes. And you need to take time and ask yourself, how do you devote? So let's talk about the tools are all here. Let's start with this one because of time. So devotional tool number one, apostles' teaching, which is basically the Bible. Let's start with that tool. You know, you got to have the right tools to be devoted. But if you're not devoted to the apostles' teaching, you will not be able, this is all based on this scripture here, they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. So that's tool number one. If you're not committed to biblical study that helps you to change, what happens to your spiritual life? What happens if you don't have a blueprint from God? Is it possible that you've stopped following the blueprint? That you're just guessing because you've been in the house for too long? Yes, Jason. God? Yeah, without building a house without a foundation. No point of reference. Okay, that's where I wanted to go. Is it possible that you've lost the point of reference? You know what I mean? Have you lost your point of reference spiritually? You need to get back to the Bible. You're like a guy somewhere in downtown Atlanta. You have no GPS. You have no clue south, east, west, buildings everywhere. You've lost point of reference. So you're operating with emotion and fear and anxiety. You've got to come back to biblical teaching and say, what does the Bible say? That is tool number one. It's very possible to be a Christian that has lost reference. Why they do what they do. Why is it important to be committed to God? Why? So, and then they stop even their Bible study. They have lost their point of reference. That is a key thing. Have you lost your point of reference? Get back to Bible study. Lately, I'm taking a lot of time just reading the Bible. I've been studying our devotion. It's amazing how I'm like, wow, this guy was devoted that much. I didn't realize you can be devoted that way. I mean, just even taking a day to devote to God, and I say, I'll fast today, I'll pray the whole day. How about that? Just a day. Just an hour. I'll devote this hour to God. You know, you can do all that stuff. But you don't want to do it as an activity. You want to make sure that your heart is right with God as you're doing it. Does that make sense? That you're not doing this because the preacher said it. No, you're doing it because you trust it. You know what? I'm changing now. I'm going to be devoted to God. This is the way I'll handle life. I'll be a devoted person, and I'll let God lead me going forward. So that's tool number one. So if you've lost reference, the first thing you got to do is go back to Bible study. That's what you got to do. People say, what am I going to study? Okay, what are you feeling today? I would like you to figure that out and then sit down and say, what scriptures should I look at? And let the scriptures speak to me and ask, what was it written about? What context and how does it apply to me? And bring it alive to you and say, here's what I'll start doing different as a result of my Bible study. That's a devotion you're doing and it'll transform your life. Amen? Is this a hard thing to do, to read your Bible? I mean, if you don't want to read the Bible, play music, let it talk loudly to you. If that's a hard thing, let it talk loudly to you if you can't read. Put it on and pay attention and put it on pause and hear it out and say, God, let me hear that. Devotional tool number two, deep fellowship. Bible says here that the apostles, there were apostles teaching and fellowship. Why do you think fellowship is a tool? Why do you think fellowship is a spiritual tool? Okay, God is love and love is relationship. Perfect love drives out fear. Are you afraid? Yes?
We need one another to encourage one another and to keep fighting.
You can, yeah. Christianity is a team sport. You can't play alone. If you play alone, you'll be destroyed. You know, the devil talks about the devil is going around trying to devour someone, First Peter, and he can destroy you if you're alone. Yes?
Show up, and a lot of times I'll go back more filled because that person had what I was lacking.
People have what you don't have, and by fellowshipping with them, you go back way rich and filled, and you grow from that conversation. We got Tracy and we got Selena. There we go, Selena. So I have a question. Yes. I have a question. How is your fellowship? How is your fellowship? When is the last time you hang out, drank water, it's a hot season, ice cream, whatever it is you guys do, hang out and just talked about life, fellowship. If this is a tool, when is the last time you did that? Are you feeling lonely? It's a thing right now. The WHO has just said it's a thing, that there's something called loneliness and it's an epidemic in the world. We had this antidote, but many of us don't have fellowship. We come to church and say the high highs, you know, good to see you, Peter, how's your hair, what's going on, and we're done. But we hardly talk about, man, I read this, or I'm going through this, and here's what we got to do, and how's that going for you? We need to restore fellowship. Get young people to come to your house. You get people of your age to come to your home. We got to do that more and get different people to come to your house. If you host people twice a month, it's going to be rich. It's going to be awesome. Weekly, you can do that if you can afford it. And you don't have to spend a lot of money. You know, sometimes just give them water and a warm heart. A warm heart. A spiritual heart. People get enriched when they come to that space. Tell people what God is teaching you. You may be surprised how it may enrich them as well. Amen? It's a relationship. You cannot do it alone. We are alone because we don't have people in our lives. You know, I love people. That's why I'm a minister. I love people. If I am sick for like a week or two and I'm not talking to people, my life really takes a different turn. I'm talking to my wife and things, but I need to be out there talking to different people as well. And I figured there's a scientific, if you want, a scientific reason, but God is bigger than science, that if people that have relationships do better in life. In fact, a proven science of people that had cancer, they had someone that had no one pray for them, they had much more pain and died quicker. The middle people had few people pray for them and come visit them, stayed a bit longer. Another group had the whole church praying for them and people coming a lot. Those people tend to recover more. It's done in South Africa. They run that experiment. The relationships help. That's science, but God had already put it down that, hey, you need fellowship. So you need to get serious about who are the people in your life and start really building a real awesome fellowship conversation life. Amen? Amen. Devotional tool number 3, breaking of bread. I got a question. When was the last time you ate with someone? Just eating and having a conversation. Just ate something. Hot wings, you know. Whatever you guys like to eat, you know. When's the last time you just say, man, let's grab something? Yeah, here we go. See, I am concerned that many of us have no life. Watch your life and doctrine. Watch your life and doctrine. That all we do is go to work, come to church, go and sit, watch something, sleep. We don't go watch a game. We don't go sit somewhere and do something, talk to people about life. We have no passion whatsoever. No wonder we're trying to spark it, have passion for God. You don't know how it feels to be passionate. You're like, what are you talking about? Why is he so happy about God? You got to have some life. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Get involved in schools. Get involved in the boards. Get involved in that place. That's how we help the world to know Jesus. But have a life. Do you have people that are friends in your neighbor that you just invite? Hey, let's come have a meal and bring other people around and eat with you. We can get very complicated about hosting people. Oh, it's expensive. I don't have the time. Really? It's eating for crying out loud. Just bring people. My wife is amazing in this area. She's always going to tell me, yeah, let's have so-and-so come. Let's have so-and-so come. And I'm like, hey, so are you sure we can handle this? It's okay. She'll cook it and people come and we have people. And I stopped saying, okay, are we sure? Are you sure? So let's just have it. I think we need to have people. If you are a family person and you have children, it's awesome when they see people come in your home. It's part of your faith. Do that more. Bring young, old, male, everybody. It's good for the children. If you are single or you don't have children, just still have fun. Have a life. That's how we can win the world as well. We eat together. Relationship is important. We cannot do standalone Christianity. We've got to eat together. That's a tool, number 3. So I have a challenge for you. Start eating with people. You'll be shocked what you may learn from them from time to time. Devotion tool number 4, prayer. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Well, we can say it in the clear English that we all understand. Ask for whatever you wish. If you abide in me and abide in you, and he'll give it to you. He will grant what is asked to those who abide in him and his word. So these tools start from the apostles' teaching, and we have in the middle the relationship issue, eating together, but he ends up with prayer. And prayer is difficult because real prayer requires honesty. Can I tell you something? How guarded are you? If you'd rate yourself, how guarded are you? How guarded are you as a person? If I would rate you. I.e., unknown calls, I pick them because I'm a minister. I can't be God and say, who's calling? Who knows? Maybe it's a disciple. Let's just go. Hello? Sometimes there's always a guy trying to say IRS stuff. I'm like, ah, come on. You're just trying to play games over here, man. That's no IRS guy. You know, how gutted are you? How afraid are you? If you're gutted, you will not connect with God. If you're so gutted, you will not connect with God. You've got to be vulnerable. Prayer takes vulnerability. Just plain old vulnerability, it doesn't make you weak. You actually connect. The reason prayer is hard is because you can just repeat words, Father God, Father God, Father God. And sometimes if you're not careful, be careful. Sometimes you have a routine. You just take the same words and run through them. Same words run through them. Take a moment and really talk to God. These are very simple things, but they are amazing. The church, the first church began here, and the Bible says it even grew. And these are very tools of devotion. So if you're going to do this, you need time. I want to ask you that make time and be devoted to God this month and see how that will transform your life. Make time for your prayer. Make time to, if you can pray in the house, take a walk and pray. But don't get distracted. If you're not a prayer walker, then stay in the house. Yeah. But if you can walk, amen. Yeah, some people can walk and pray for the whole day. They're fine. Not everybody can do that. Some of us say, I'll pray in the car. If you're like me, I'm not sure that really works. At some point, I'm paying attention to so many details. What was I telling you again, God? Oh, yeah, by the way, what I meant was this. So you know, they start, stop. So try and really create time for God. And then let us create families of relationships, and you see how God transforms that. What I'm saying to us is that let us not be devoted to the things that we do. Let us be devoted to God. Perfect love drives out fear. Then growth starts to happen in everybody's life. When we're not in that space, devotion is a hard deal to do because we think it's too much. It's not too much to read the Bible. It's not too much to hang out with a friend. It's not too much to eat with people. It's not too much to pray to God. It's you've lost devotion. That's what's going on wrong. You'll have to say what needs to go so that I can devote myself to God. Maybe you're watching too much TV. You're playing too much music. Some things will need to go. Maybe you're sleeping too late. It'll be trying to sleep at 11. See how you wake up feeling. You'll be feeling very fresh by 6 o'clock. It'll be awesome. Try these things and you see how everything changes around. Amen? Any questions around this before we close this one out? Any questions? We good? You're free.